Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, this week I caught up with one old but new again production now on Broadway, most notable for the return of its leading lady. I also caught two shows at the Public Theater, one filled with songs, the other only has song in its title. None of these, by the way, could be called entertaining in the purest sense of the word. Well, let's start on Broadway, where the Waverly Gallery is doing pretty good business in a limited run at the Golden Theater. Written by Kenneth Lonergan, the play was first performed some 17 years ago. Now, from personal experience, I can tell you that no playwright wants to hear the adjective heartfelt in a critic's lead, but this one clearly is, or was. Lonergan based the story on a family member's battle with dementia. It is, of course, depressing to think that all these years later, we still don't have definitive medical answers to what today we mostly call Alzheimer's, and which seems to be hitting more families than ever. And depressing, frankly, is the word most appropriate for this production. After all, we spend 2 hours watching the main character losing her memory, mind, and wits, though the best thing about the show is Elaine May's performance as that character, Gladys Greene. Former lawyer, lefty, and social butterfly, she now runs a seemingly irrelevant art gallery in Greenwich Village. Now, as good as May is, however, her appearance is also kind of a distraction, one that takes the audience a while to get used to. They are eager and ready to laugh at just about everything she says, obviously remembering her days as part of the funniest comic duo to ever hit a Broadway stage, that being Nichols and May. And she certainly can still toss out a line with witty, if slightly bitter, panache. When someone says, "It's not fun getting old," May barks back, "Why do you say that? No one wants to hear that." Well, the audience laughs and applauds, but it's not long before the laughter stops and we realize Gladys's affliction is only getting worse. And the truth is nothing much more really happens. As a result, the play often feels stilted and frankly dated. Not in the sense that the disease has gone away, but that we have many more ways of dealing with it, ways his family doesn't even consider. At the same time, Waverly Gallery doesn't quite feel old enough to be a period piece. Not for lack of trying, the projections of the West Village in between scenes are clearly an attempt to make this about the loss of a neighborhood as well as the decline of one woman's health. All that being said, the performances are excellent by a starry cast, which also includes Joan Allen, David Cromer, Michael Cera, and especially Lucas Hedges as the grandson and the occasional narrator. Kenneth Lonergan, who some consider our best living playwright, does have a nice touch with natural dialogue. "I didn't hear what you said. What did I say? I don't know." Well, those with a family member afflicted by Alzheimer's should probably steer clear. Really, the only reason to go is to see Elaine May looking and acting so well. There will be a Tony nomination, I am sure, though that's a long way off. I would say I hope the Tony voters remember it, but for some reason that sounds either like a bad pun or, well, politically very incorrect. In some ways, I think Waverly Gallery would be more powerful in a smaller venue, one like the Public Theater, for example, where I saw my other two shows of the week. Now, the more important one is Girl from the North Country, based on the Bob Dylan song and written by Irishman Conor McPherson. This unusual piece was a success in London and has been a big hit at the Public. It's already planning a move to Broadway. This is one of those shows that some love and some strongly do not love. Now, I can understand both sides. Personally, I was mesmerized, but then I love virtually every song Bob Dylan has written, at least over the first 40 years of his career. And the musical arrangements here by Simon Hale are beyond gorgeous, thanks also to a large cast of great singers, few who most of us have heard of, though you will likely recognize Mare Winningham, who does a dazzling version of Like a Rolling Stone. Plot-wise, it is 1935, and we are in a rooming house in Depression-era Duluth, Minnesota, where Dylan was born. and where the characters merge over Thanksgiving weekend. Some are families, some are rumors, who have recently either been released or escaped from prison. Now, I don't recall one laugh in this show unless you count, what are you doing wasting your life here? Well, I gotta waste it somewhere. You don't want to become an addict. Why not? Well, and if there's an upbeat number, it's the hoedown style version of You Ain't Going Nowhere, which opens Act Two. While there is constant music, Girl from the North Country is far from a traditional musical. The songs don't end, leaving room for applause, but simply fade into dialogue. The performers are all splendid. Somehow we end up getting to know something about each character. We even root for them to go after some form of happiness. There are no sets to speak of or costume changes. The instruments are on stage, often played by the performers themselves. Connor McPherson not only conceived but also directed the show, which includes some tableaus and scenes in silhouette that still haunt me. The public obviously feels this is its next show to make the big move to Broadway. I must say, I think that's a risky decision for several reasons, but we shall see. Upstairs at the Public, meanwhile, is its newest edition called Eve's Song, written by Patricia Lone Lloyd. This play means well and has some interesting ideas, but they're lost amid too many disparate ones. It centers on a black woman, now a single mother, trying to act unblack to keep her job. This connects with Michelle Obama's new memoir, apparently, in which she confesses to be a control freak who took her minority status as a, quote, mandate to overperform. Well, Eve's Song also includes a rather lost teenage son and a daughter who was embarking on her first gay relationship, much to the displeasure of her overly compliant and careful mother. It's not a choice, Mom. It's who I am. There are also three shadowy ghost figures representing something, I'm not sure what. The playwright is someone to watch, but with lines like, haters just got to hate, and you are the lesbian superhero version of Drake, well, she has a ways to go. Still, there is food for thought in Eve's Song, and a lot of food, by the way. Someone back there is preparing constant meals for the family of three. It's worth mentioning, finally, that there are a lot of race scenarios currently filling New York stages. This one, of course, Girl from the North Country, has crucial elements. American Son, now on Broadway, looks at how cops treat those of color. The Flea Theater in Tribeca is dedicating a whole season to the issue. And, of course, To Kill a Mockingbird has started previews. So, Jill, take that timing for what you will.
Oh, the cheer, the cheer, the cheer. The holiday cheer.
Oh, my God.
No, we touched on this last week. I'm becoming more and more, dare I say, militant about the notion. Considering the amount of time that it takes to put something up, at some point, I think it would be wise for the powers that be to realize that not everybody wants to be miserable all the time.
Right, exactly,
I don't know how that's going to work, but...
Well, there are still musicals coming. The Prom, whatever that is, opens this week. I mean, there are still plenty of things people could, but fewer and fewer, frankly, of the lighter stuff. And for now, most of these are limited.
Right. But you know, if you're talking about, for example, doing a transfer.
Yeah, I think
of something that's not. And by the way, I'm not talking about if one recalls some of the shall we say most important, for lack of a better word, or musicals in musical theater have a point. You know, The Sound of Music.
Sure.
You know, Nazis. Yeah, you know, it's like there's it's not just all froth.
My God, Oklahoma was hardly frothy. Anything
South logic. Pacific, you name it. The point was, right. It was a style in which you took a chewy, for lack of a better word, topic, you know, one that wasn't exactly fun and games, and made it accessible by virtue of making it entertaining.
That's right. West Side Story comes to mind as well. And, you know, the Public Theater, to its credit, brought Hamilton to Broadway and Fun House to Broadway and Chorus Line to Broadway. Musicals that all are about something, obviously, not all happy-go-lucky. I think they tend to lately they do tend to get overexcited when they have a big hit. Bloody Andrew Jackson, the one with Eclipsed with Lupita Nyong'o. I mean, they had big hits that they immediately bring over and don't make it. I think this one's risky. I think Girl from the North Country, they might be overly exaggerating the love of Bob Dylan. Yes, a lot of people do, but those aren't necessarily the people coming into town who want to see who want to get away from it all. So I don't know. I think this is a risky one, but we shall see, like I said, you know.
Not all topics are created equal. There has to be a judicious mixture of
right
information, so while Hamilton is a perfect example, Hamilton's don't come, nobody would have, I find it unlikely that anyone would have skipped on Hamilton or the opportunity to bring Hamilton once it started coming together, especially given the history of,
yes.
Right. So there's...
That had such an incredibly positive reaction. You never heard anybody who went to the public theater who didn't come out raving about Hamilton. You hear a lot of people who come out of Girl from the North Country who are not raving about it, which... Okay, so it divides people, but that's not necessarily a recipe for great success, on Broadway.
And again, forgetting great success, which you, of course, do need, how about a recipe for entertainment?
Yeah.
Because it's like one of the first things you could, like, Thanksgiving is a perfect example. A lot of people like their turkeys.
Yeah.
Now, some like them festooned differently. Some don't like them. But by and large... You start with the decision, hey, are we going to have turkey or are we going to be different?
Exactly. And let's hope this one is, it's definitely incredibly different and it's a success where it is now. I'm certainly not going to say I hope it's not a turkey when it goes to Broadway because that would be way too cutesy. But we'll see. The last time Bob Dylan was brought to Broadway was when Twyla Tharp did a dance version of his music, and that was a terrible show and bombed quickly. By the way, interestingly, this one started with Bob Dylan's interest, not Connor McPherson. Apparently Dylan's people, as they call it, or management, went to McPherson, an Irishman, and said, anything you want to do with our music, any ideas you have, and this is what he came up with. That was interesting to me, that because you think of somebody like Dylan who's so private and not wanting anything done, but he's out there. Apparently he likes having his stuff done. And anyway, so this is with his blessings. So, and I would say, feeling like I do about Bob Dylan, not as a person necessarily, but as an incredible artist of our time, God bless him.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.